On Tuesday's front page, the Obama administration is clearing the way for the embattled president of Yemen to get medical treatment in New York. We'll look at the continuing debate over an experiment that took a deadly virus and made it deadlier. And as states ease their laws on concealed weapons, some of the permits are ending up in the wrong hands. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the embattled leader of Yemen may be coming to New York for medical treatment. President Ali Abdullah Saleh was seriously wounded in a bomb attack on his palace several months ago. He's promised to turn over power after elections in February, but there's concern in diplomatic circles he won't let go. The Obama administration has been caught up in a debate about Saleh. Two officials say the administration has decided to let him in, but he hasn't been given a visa. The concern is the U.S. will be criticized for providing a safe haven for an Arab leader responsible for hundreds of protesters' deaths. An experiment that took a dangerous flu virus and made it more so has raised concerns about terrorism. It also has scientists asking if the experiment should have been done in the first place. The U.S. government paid for the research at a lab in the Netherlands. Now federal advisors are asking scientific journals not to print the details. Some biosecurity experts are worried the virus could leak out of the lab or be stolen. Also on Tuesday's front page, it's easier than ever to carry a handgun in public in many states. All that's needed to get a permit is a basic background check. The thinking behind easing gun laws is permit holders are law-abiding citizens who should be able to carry weapons for self-protection. The Times took a closer look at the permit program in North Carolina. It turns out that nearly 2,500 permit holders had been convicted of felonies or misdemeanors. That includes at least 10 who'd committed murder or manslaughter. All but two of the killers had used guns. On the campaign trail, all eyes are on Iowa leading into the first round of caucus voting. Mitt Romney's advisors say his prospects there have improved. Congressman Ron Paul has built a dedicated band of supporters, and Rick Santorum's candidacy seems to be gaining strength there. In Madrid, a park is blossoming in place of a highway. The highway is now underground. The park transformed a formerly neglected area. It also tied together neighborhoods that the highway had cut off from the city center. Times architecture critic Michael Kimmelman says it's not the only place where highways are being torn up and waterfronts reclaimed. He says established thinking about cars in cities is being reversed to create parks and other new public spaces. An Israeli television station is fighting for its life. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is openly hostile to Channel 10. It had reported on trips he and his wife took before he became prime minister, trips that were paid for by rich friends. Times reporter Ethan Bronner says the fight over Channel 10 is being cast as part of a broader cultural and political war. The government is refusing to postpone the station's debt, which could force it to close. Inside Tuesday's Times, a faction in Iraq led by anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr wants elections held soon. It says parliament should be dissolved. This deepened Iraq's political crisis. It's the first open challenge to Prime Minister Nouri Kamal al-Maliki from within his own Shiite coalition. North Korea's new leader is now head of the ruling party. Kim Jong-un appears to be taking on all of his late father's titles. Kim Jong-un also met with a delegation of South Koreans. The meeting was apparently friendly, even though South Korea isn't sending any official mourners to Kim Jong-il's funeral on Wednesday. At least 30 people were killed in the Syrian city of Homs. People who are there say Homs has been under siege for days, with rebels battling security forces and soldiers. France condemned the violence as observers fanned out to monitor promises by the government of President Bashar al-Assad. The promises include withdrawing tanks and troops from cities around Syria and releasing political prisoners. How long does it take to cross the Hudson River? If you're a power cable, the answer is months. Several miles of power cables are being laid between Midtown Manhattan and Edgewater, New Jersey. It's a labor-intensive project that began in November. The cables are now more than halfway to their destination. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.